Appreciate all that's been done, all the singing, everything that's been done thus far in the service. As we said a moment ago, appreciate obedient hearts unto the Lord and as He speaks and as He works, I'm glad that we can respond and do what He wants us to do. You know, sometimes we think, well, don't want to detract, don't want to take away, don't want to take up time or those kinds of things, but when God speaks to your heart, I believe it's a good time to go ahead and move toward Him and find help in your life and in your heart. I'll be honest with you. I have been in church services where God has spoken to my heart and I kind of brushed it aside. And I thought, well, I'll wait, not right now. And the longer I waited, the less He touched my heart. And by the time I finally convinced myself, well, I'll go ahead. The Lord wasn't drawing my heart then. And it would have been a waste of time. Time to move when He's working in your heart and touching your soul. And I appreciate folk being obedient unto the Lord this morning. If you have your Bibles, if you'd like to follow with us, turn to the Gospel according to John chapter 11. And we've been looking for several weeks from this portion of the Word of God, and the Lord has continued to deal with my heart, and I'm just going to try to stay where He wants me to stay and deal with what He wants me to deal with. And when He shuts the door on this one, He'll open up the door somewhere else, and I'll just try to follow Him and obey Him, do what He wants me to do. But He has continued to touch my heart and stir my heart with these things that surround the life of Mary and Martha and Lazarus and the events that took place around Bethany. Those things have just stirred in my heart and in my soul, and I thank God for it. And I challenge your heart sometime if you want to just do a little reference work to just find places in the life and ministry of our Lord, where He was at Bethany and what took place around Bethany. There's a lot of things that took place in Capernaum. There were things that took place in Jerusalem and other places. But there are some notable things that took place around Bethany that I think that is good for us to ponder and think about and look at by the help of God. I want to begin down at verse 28 this morning and pick up where we left off last time in verse number 27. We had finished and began in verse number 28. And when she, talking about Martha, when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, "The Master is come and calleth for thee." As soon as she heard that, talking about Mary, she arose quickly and came unto him. Now Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house, and comforted her when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, "She goeth unto the grave to weep there." Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." I want to stop reading there. I want to look at these verses this morning and ponder a few thoughts that the Lord has impressed upon my heart. You know, one of the beauties that you and I have involved in reading the Word of God is the perspective that it gives us. We have the whole picture. We have the whole story of what was happening and what is going on. You see, we, by the perspective of the gospel record, we have the whole picture of what was happening in the life of Mary and Martha and Lazarus. You and I have why Jesus dealt with them as he did. We even understand why he delayed his return in coming back to them as he did. But think about what they must have been going through. Think about the hurt that they had in their heart. Think about the questions that must have stirred in their mind. Think about the hope that they had had. They had sent word to Jesus. They had gotten message unto him that Lazarus was sick. And no doubt they thought Jesus would drop whatever he was doing and would come right away and fix the problem in their lives. But he didn't come. And for 4 days, they pondered all of that. For 4 days, that hope that they had been dashed. They watched as Lazarus took his last breath. They watched and thought that well, he is late in coming, but he'll get here. And they thought that evening that Lazarus died, and they placed him in the tomb. No doubt they glanced up the road, and they thought he's coming. He just hadn't got here yet. And they went to bed, got up the next day, and thought surely he's gonna come today. But he didn't come. And for 4 days, all of that was in their minds and in their hearts. Can you imagine the questions that they had? Can you imagine the doubts that they entertained? Can you imagine the hurt that was in their heart? You see, they were cut out of the same human fabric that you and I are today. They have the same questions that you and I have in our own hearts. They have the same doubts that you and I often have in our own lives. When we thought surely he would fix this, surely he would handle that, surely he is going to answer my prayer right away, but he's not done that. And so here we are today, again thinking in our hearts and saying, Lord, I thought you'd by now have worked it out, but you haven't taken care of the problem yet. So that's where they were. And finally Jesus shows up. And we thought about that last Sunday, how that Martha got word somehow that Jesus was up near the village. And she went out and met him and talked with him about her frustrations. She didn't understand. And she said to him, if thou hadst been here, our brother wouldn't have died. But I know that what God you ask of God, God will grant it unto thee. And they talked about resurrection and life and death and all of those things. And she made that statement of faith in Jesus Christ. But now
She has come back, apparently at the asking of Jesus, about Mary. She has come back to the house and says to Mary in verse 28, the Master is come and calleth for thee. Words of hope and words of help, words of encouragement that she needed to know that Jesus was there. And you'll find that Martha says unto Mary, he's here. The Master's here. He showed up. He's arrived. And he's calling for you. Mary wants to see you. He desires to talk to you. He desires to help you and meet the need of your heart. I'd like to preach this morning, if I can, a little bit from that thought that the Master is come and calleth for thee. I want to think about that phrase in this text for a little bit. First of all, think with me about the Master's presence. Think about him showing up. What a difference it makes when he shows up. What a difference. How everything takes on new light. How everything looks different and looks better when Jesus shows up. I want to tell you, it makes the difference in our services when he shows up in power and great glory. It makes a difference in the sickness hour. It makes a difference in the sad hour. It makes a difference in days of sudden disaster. It makes all the difference when Jesus shows up. And he came. When words of comfort from her friends can help, when words of consolation from all that were gathered around, when those words of consolation couldn't do the job, Jesus shows up and she gets word that the Master has come and he's calling for you. I want to tell you, it makes the difference when he comes. You say, why? Well, think about the term that Martha used. She used the word, the Master. Think about it. It's a term that describes him as a great teacher. It's a term that has the idea that he is one of great knowledge. Oh, listen today. I want you to ponder the thought today. How that the Master has come and sought for us. He comes as one who truly knows. He knows about your situation. He knows about your circumstance. He knows about your hungry heart. He knows about the emptiness of your soul. He doesn't come as one who suggests. He didn't come as one who thinks. He comes as one who truly knows the needs of our heart. I'm glad today that he has perfect knowledge. He knows. Do you realize that there was a whole big crowd around? It was a common practice in that day that when death had come, that paid mourners showed up. People came all from around the community and they would sit in the house and they would cry and they would wail and they would weep and they would sit there. But in all of their crying, in all of their weeping, in all of their wailing, they truly did not understand how Mary felt. You realize today
That as much as you and I desire to sympathize with those who hurt, we truly don't know how they feel. There are times I've sat with families when death and tragedy has come, and I've tried to share with them how it hurt me. I've tried to let them know how much I cared. I've tried to emphasize that I was interested in their hurts. And at times would sit and cry while they cried. But in all that I went through, I truly did not understand the depths of their hurts. But thank God there's one today who does know exactly how you feel. He knows your heart today. He knows the hurt of your soul today. He knows exactly what's going on in your life today. He knows. That's what it seems to be said in the term master. For one thing is that there is one that's come who truly knows. He truly knows. But you know what? That word master also seems to indicate that he is one who truly can help. He truly can help. All of those comforters were there. All of them no doubt meant well. All of those no doubt thought they would try to help in some way. But suddenly one shows up that can truly help. He's the one that had calmed troubled waters. He's the one that stood on the bow of the ship and said, "Peace, be still," and the winds lay down. He's the one that touched the leper and the leprosy was gone. He's the one that touched blinded eyes and they could see. He's the one that put his finger in an ear and it opened up and they could hear. He's the one that could do all of those things. And he's the one that shows up. I want to tell you today, he is the master of all of our situations, all of our hard cases, all of our troubles, all of our questions, all of our doubts, all of our frustrations. The master has come and he's calling for us. I'm glad when he shows up, things are going to change. When he shows up, things are going to be different. I said a while ago, I have sat with families who were hurting. I was trying to find the right word. I was trying to give the comforting thought. I was trying to share with them how much I cared. And I was even telling them how much God cared. But then all of a sudden, he showed up. And when he showed up, calmness came over the heart. When he showed up, peace began to settle over the situation. When he showed up, things begin to change. I want to tell you, there's just something about it. When Jesus comes, when he shows up, when he arrives on the scene in your situation, in my situation, things are going to change when the Master shows up.
Yes, sir.
I see the Master's presence. But notice, if you will, secondly, notice the motivating plea. In verse 28, again it says, "The Master is come and calleth for thee." You see what concern and compassion our Lord had for Mary. What concern that our Lord had that he came, and Martha sends the message, whispers the message in Mary's ear, and she did it secretly. No doubt I see her in my mind
come into the room, and all the crowd is around, and Martha slips up beside Mary and leans down and whispers in her ear and says, "Mary, Jesus is here, the Master's here, and He's calling for you. He's calling for you." That is a personal call. It's a personal call. Oh, listen today. You're looking at somebody that's glad that God so loved the world. I'm thankful today that God loves this world. I'm glad that He died for sinners all over this world. But you're looking at somebody that's thankful that He loves me. I'm glad that He called me. I'm glad He came to where I was. I'm glad He spoke my name. I'm glad He called me by name. I'm glad He said, "I want you." Thank God, what a blessing it is that the Master has come and calls for you. I'm looking out over your faces today, and I can honestly say that He's calling for you, whoever you are, whatever your name, whatever your situation, the Master has come and He's calling for you. I want to tell you, it's a personal call that He makes. You say, "Preacher, how so?" You see, you that are weak today, He's calling for you. You say, "Preacher, I struggle so. My faith seems to be so weak. I just doubt all the time. And I don't know how I'm going to make it. And I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't have the solution to my problems. I just seem to be so discouraged. I seem to be so out of heart. I seem to be so depressed. I seem to be so weak right now." I want to tell you, the Master has come and He's calling for you. He's calling for you. He desires to help you today. Not only those who are weak, but He's calling you that are weary today. He said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Some of you today, you're weary. You're tired of fighting. You're tired of struggling. You're tired of hurting. You're tired of frustration and you're weary today. The Master has come and He's calling for you. Amen. You that are worrying today, the Master's come, He's calling for you. You say, "Preacher, I'm so worried. I don't know about tomorrow. I don't know about next week. I don't know how I'm going to solve these problems. I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to make the ends meet. It seems like when the end of the month comes that I've got bills yet to pay and I can't pay them. I don't know what I'm going to do." I want to tell you, He's come and He's calling for you, saying, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Oh, you may be here today and you're just worn down. Oh, you're beat down by life and discouraged in heart. You've been misused and mistreated. You've been hurt so deep by those you trusted so greatly. He's calling you today. It may be that you're finding it hard to forgive. It may be that you're finding it hard to let go. It may be that you're finding it hard to trust today. He's calling for you. And He's saying, "I want to help you today in your heart and in your life." There may be those who've wasted your life. I'm telling you, there's folk that have wasted time and said, "You know, I've spent so many wasted years. What am I going to do now?" You know what old Vance Havner said one time? He said, "If I'd wasted all my life and all I had was just a few remaining years," he said, "I'd make Him Lord of what was left."
Yes,
I want to tell you, that's what I'd do today. I'd just come to Him and I'd say, "Lord, I've wasted a lot of time, but I come to You and I want to serve You and live for You." I'm telling you that it is a personal call today, that the Lord knows where you're at. He knows what you're going through. He has come and He is calling for you. It's not only a personal call, it's a practical call. It is a call for you to do something. It's a call for action. You see, whenever Mary, or when Martha said to Mary, the Master is come and He calleth for you, it called for Mary to get out of her comfort zone and go to Jesus. It called for her to get up and go to where He was. It called for her to make a move toward Him. You know what James said in the book of James? He said, if we'll draw nigh to God, He'll draw nigh to us. I believe the idea is if you and I will make a move toward Him, He'll make a move toward us. If you draw close to Him, He'll draw close to you. I'm trying to say to your heart and mind today that the Master has come and He's calling for you. You do understand today that the problems that you're having in life, that they're not in your life to drive you from Him, but they're in your life to draw you to Him. God doesn't allow those things to come in our life to push us away. He puts those things in our life that we might scrooge up close. I want to ask you today, what's it going to take to draw you to Him? What's it going to take to get close to Him and to bow at His feet? You know what? Over the last 24 hours, I have heard about three deaths. 24 hours, heard about three deaths. One of them was a 7-year-old. Got hit by a car down in Union County. And I heard yesterday that the child had died. Heard about a 19-20-year-old here in this county, teenage girl, maybe turned 20, I don't know for sure, but killed in a car accident yesterday. And then just a while ago, Karen Childers come by and told me about her uncle that had died, that had a cancer. I want to tell you, you don't have to be old to get out of this life. You can have tragedy to come at an early age. It can come, that little boy, that little girl sitting by you. What if God, so fit in His plan to touch that little life and draw them out of this world? Oh, you say, preacher, that crushed me. I think I just quit serving God. Oh, listen today. Things come in our lives not to push us away, but draw us to Him. You see, those things can happen in my family just like your family and just like their family. It can happen. I want to tell you, what's it going to take to get you at His feet? I'm not talking about coming to the altar and putting a Band-Aid on a broken leg. I'm not talking about getting around here and taking an aspirin for a cancer. You see, I'm afraid that's what a lot of people do. They use the altar. They feel guilty about something. They feel guilty about somewhere they failed. And they come and they say, oh God, help me, forgive me. And they feel better about themselves and go right back out and live just like they lived before. And they put a Band-Aid on a broke leg. I'm talking about really getting at His feet and really getting help for your life. I'm talking about doing business with God to the point that it changes your life and your heart. I'm talking about getting where He is. That's where help really lies.
Yes, sir.
Let me quickly give you the other thought. I see the Master's presence. I see a motivating plea. The Master He's come and He's calling for thee. But then notice the mourner's peace. The mourner's peace. Look at verse 29. Look at what Mary did. And as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly and came unto Him. She didn't hesitate. She didn't wait. She didn't mess around. She got word Jesus is calling. She felt that tug in her heart that the Master wanted to help her, and she made the move. She didn't stop and say, well, I wonder what this one over here is going to think about me. I wonder what they'll say about me if I get up and move. She wasn't interested in what anybody thought. She wasn't interested in what anybody said. She just wanted to get to Jesus. She had heard that He was there. She had heard that He had showed up and He was calling her name and drawing her. And she just wanted to get to Jesus. So she laid aside all of those things and hastily made her way to where he was. But not only look at what she did, look at what she said. In verse 32, then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. Is that not the same thing Martha said? Is that not basically the same thing Martha had come, said to him when she first saw him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. And now Mary comes and says the same thing. That tells me a few things. It tells me that that's what they've been talking about. That's what Mary and Martha had been discussing. That's what's been bothering them. That's what's been troubling them. Their thoughts were, if he would have just come, if he would have just showed up, if he would have been here, Lazarus wouldn't have died. And that's what honestly was on their hearts. But where's the difference? Martha said it to the face of Jesus. Mary said it at the feet of Jesus. You see, Martha come confronting him. Lord, if you'd have been here, he wouldn't have died. But Mary comes with that worshipful attitude. And by the way, you realize these are the only recorded words of Mary in all of the gospel records. You don't find her saying anything else. But what she did say, she said from an honest heart at the feet of Jesus. Preacher, what are you saying? I'm telling you, that's exactly what the Lord wants from you and me. He wants an honest heart at his feet. You say, preacher, I am so frustrated. I'm so hurt. I'm so aggravated. I don't know. I feel like I can pull my hair out. I wish these things would go away. I wish that I didn't have to deal with it. I wish that those things would never happen. And I don't understand why it happened. But Mary didn't come and say, Lord, I don't understand why I'm mad at you. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to see you. She just came and honestly poured her heart out and said, Lord, I don't understand. If you'd have been here, he'd have not died. And left it at his feet like that. Maybe that's exactly what you're needing to do today. Is not get mad and angry at God and say, God, I don't understand why I'm just done dealing with you. But to just come and bow at his feet. Say, Lord, I don't understand. I don't know why. I don't know why it had to happen this way. I don't know why things fell out the way they did. I don't know. I don't know why. I know you could have fixed it, but you chose not to fix it. And I don't understand all about what you're doing. But Lord, I'm just going to trust you. You see, that's what was in Mary's heart. Honest, trusting, trusting. You see, Mary came and just put it at his feet. She didn't know. She didn't understand. But she did know one thing. All of her frustration and all of her doubts and all of her fears, all of that that was bottled up, she needed to just lay at his feet. That's exactly what the Lord wants from you and from me today. He wants us with an honest heart just to lay it at his feet and say, Lord, I don't know, but I'm trusting you. Trusting you. I asked the question a while ago, and I'm going to ask it again now in closing while David gets ready to get a song. I'm going to ask you in closing, what is it going to take to get you at the feet of Jesus? What's it going to take for you to bring whatever it is that's overwhelmed you and troubling you, got you beat down and wore down, confused and doubting? What's it going to take to get you just to bring it and lay it at Jesus' feet? I can honestly tell you today that the Master is here. The Master's come. You say, preacher, how do you know he's here? I brought him with me. You did too. You're saved by the grace of God. He goes with you wherever you go. But I'm glad I can honestly say the Master's here. And He's calling for you. There's people right here under the sound of my voice. You're overwhelmed today. You are. You're burdened. You're troubled. You've had a lot of good, well-meaning people to come by and say words like, you know, I've got you in my heart. I'm praying for you. I'm thinking about you. I know you're going through a tough time. And those things mean well. It's not that you don't doubt they mean what they say. There's just something about putting it at His feet that makes all the difference. Maybe that's what you've not done. Maybe that's what you need to do, is just bring it to Jesus and lay it here at His feet in an altar of prayer and say, Lord God, I'm just honest with you today. I don't understand. And I'm hurt. I'm hurt deep. I am. Lord God, I'm frustrated and I'm hurt. But I need you and I need your help. And I'm going to give it to you. What is it you need to do? The psalmist David said in Psalm 55, he said, cast thy burden upon the Lord. Why not just put it on Jesus today? Why not just lay it at His feet today? The Master has come and He's calling for you. While we sing,
Page 160.